What political philosopher or thinker do you most identify with and why?
Christ, because he changed my heart.
I thought Jesus' being here was about his death and dying on the cross, when it really was about him coming to show us how to do it, to show us the Christ consciousness that he had, and that consciousness abides with all of us.
And that will necessarily involve continuing good relations with the Tibetan people and their remarkable representative, the Dalai Lama.
The walls between Christians and Muslims and Jews cannot stand. These now are the walls we must tear down.
I've been thinking a lot lately about superstition. I think it was last week sometime during the program we were talking a bit about the superstitions that, I made the comment, I believe, that all religions, save Christianity, can be boiled down to superstition. The basic belief that what I do or don't do somehow moves the cosmic gears either for me or against me. Now, you could call those cosmic gears God, fate, destiny, whatever you want to call it. But all religions, save Christianity, are superstitious. No matter what they call their gods or their higher powers, it is really up to you to manipulate the higher powers by what you do or don't do. Now, sometimes you're good at manipulating them, and sometimes you're not, but it's all superstition in the end. So I've been thinking a lot about superstition, and of course, when you start thinking about the way the human mind works, the reason all religions, save Christianity, are superstitions is because that's how the fallen, sinful mind is wired to think about itself, about the world, about God. You know, as a Christian, you got to consider the fact that maybe you've entertained a few superstitions yourself. I've seen Christians throw a pinch of salt over their shoulder or knock wood. These things we consider innocuous. What are they? They're just little habits, things we learn from grandma or grandpa. Here in the first hour of Issues Etc., audio open lines, we're going to talk about Christians and superstitions. A few examples from the news, or perhaps they're not examples of superstitions. I want to hear some of yours from your life. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live this Monday. It's the 28th of July. You can join us anytime during the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-MYIE. Or email questions or comments this hour, next hour, right here to the studio. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. We'll have a story from CNN. Senator Barack Obama, of course, was in the Middle East. He was in Jerusalem. He did something that some people consider highly superstitious. He took one of those little prayers, wrote on a slip of paper, slipped it into the Wailing Wall. There are many people who believe that that prayer goes directly to God's ears. Superstition? And an NBC News report about using the St. Joseph statue to sell your house. In an economy where the housing market's troubled, maybe St. Joseph, buried upside down in the front yard, will do some good. We'll hear both of those, and I want to hear from you about Christians and superstitions. Then, Dr. Ken Weeding will join us. We'll talk about weekly communion. Is it overkill to have communion every Sunday? Will it make it less special? Will it diminish the Lord's Supper in the eyes of the congregation if we commune every Lord's Day? The earliest Christians did. The church did for a majority of its history. Why don't we now, most of us? And then in the second hour of the program, Bob Lico will join us. You might have seen this story. It was in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch locally here, but I think it was an AP story carried around the country. Televangelist shares his wealth with family and church abroad. Questions persist about the financial dealings of the Copeland ministry. Kenneth Copeland will be the subject of our conversation with Bob Lico coming up in about an hour here on Issues Etc. And we'll round off today's program talking with Rich Abanas. He has written recently about Eckhart Tolle. Have you heard about Eckhart Tolle? If you've watched Oprah Winfrey, you've heard about Eckhart Tolle. He's got this book called The New Earth. And Oprah Winfrey actually took time out of her busy schedule over the course of, I think, 10 weeks to do an online community class with Eckhart Tolle for, they're estimating, more than 500,000 people online at one time. I think it was Monday nights at 8. Not on television, but on the internet. Eckhart Tolle and Oprah. We'll find out what he teaches, what he means by a new earth. And is there anything new in Eckhart Tolle's new spirituality coming up in the last part of Issues, Etc.? or call in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us talkback at issuesetc.org. So as I mentioned, I've been thinking a lot about superstitions. I did not grow up in a house where superstitions were a part of the family fabric. There was not a lot of knocking wood in the Wilkin house. In fact, I suspect if I would have knocked wood in the Wilkin house, my mom would have knocked me in the head because my mom was a little concerned about superstitions. We didn't do things like Halloween after I was a certain age because my mom was concerned about the connections these might have. Now, but everybody's got a superstition. Or two, or three, or four. I want you to think carefully about it. Let's start out with a CNN story about Senator Barack Obama engaging in what some people consider kind of a harmless little practice. If you go to Jerusalem, you go to the Wailing Wall, that foundation wall of the old Jerusalem temple, you say a prayer, you write it down, you stick it in the crack. What can it hurt? Here's the story from CNN.
A pre-dawn visit by Barack Obama to Jerusalem's Western Wall, Judaism's holiest site. A public event with media in tow, but the prayer he wrote and placed in the cracks of the wall was meant to be private. An Israeli newspaper has published what it claims is Obama's prayer, saying a Jewish seminary student took it from the wall after the U.S. presidential candidate left.
Anybody who goes to the Western Wall and places a note there does so under the assumption that that's a private communication between him and God, and therefore, once he has a presumption of confidentiality, there are rabbinic decrees against reading anybody else's private communications.
CNN is not reporting the contents of the private note. The Obama camp says, "We haven't confirmed or denied that it's his." An aide adding that when Obama was told of it, he, quote, wasn't angry so much as bewildered, kind of shrugged and shook his head. But the senior rabbi of the Western Wall, Shmuel Rabinowitz, says the incident is sacrilegious. He says notes which are placed in the Western Wall are between the person and his maker. Heaven forbid that one should read them or use them in any way.
Up to 7 million people visited the Western Wall last year, both tourists and locals who pray here regularly. Now that translates into millions of prayers placed in between the stones of this wall. Tradition has it that any request placed in between these holy stones will be granted.
The late Pope John Paul II placed a prayer at the Western Wall while visiting Jerusalem in 2000, but he requested that his words be made public. The Western, or Wailing Wall, is a relic of the Second Temple, destroyed by the Romans 2,000 years ago. Prayers left here are considered sacred and are cleared away twice a year to be buried in a cemetery. None of them meant to be read or published. Paula Hancock, CNN Jerusalem.
Okay, so now I understand the newsworthiness of a prayer that's intended by tradition or whatever to be private being made public, so no one knows what Barack Obama's prayer was, or even if it was Barack Obama's prayer, who knows? I'm more intrigued by the practice of writing down your prayer and sticking it between the stones in the Wailing Wall. Have you ever done this? I mean, people, a lot of Christians take trips to the Holy Land, and you sooner or later are going to end up right there at the Wailing Wall. You may just watch people praying, or you may pray yourself, or you may write it down and put it between the stones of the wall. Have you done this? There are people who will tell you that that prayer is more powerful and effective. I mean, after all, there you are in Jerusalem, right at the base of the temple. It's got to work, right? Superstition, if you ask me. But it may be a more exotic example of the kind of superstitions that Christians carry around with them all day long without thinking about it. How much of what you do every day is superstition? If you stop and think about it, I want to hear from you. What kind of superstitions do you have? Be honest. It's all right. Why do you have them? What kind of superstitions did you grow up with? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. You know, I'm thinking about the fact that if the prayer was taken out of the wall and read, somehow takes all the mojo out of it. I don't know. Do you remember when you had a birthday party and you blew out the candles and everyone said, make a wish? And you weren't supposed to say what the wish was, otherwise it wouldn't come true. I guess the presumption was if you didn't say what the wish was, you blew out all the candles with one breath, it would come true. Even as a little kid, maybe I was a cynic, even as a little kid, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. If I really wanted the wish to come true, I figured the best thing to do would be tell Mom and Dad, because they seemed to be the movers and shakers. They were the ones that could make things happen. A little superstition, maybe something harmless, something we teach your kids. Do you do that at the Schwarz house, Jeff, when little Justin has his birthday? Do you have him blow out all the candles and make a wish and make sure he doesn't tell anyone in the family what it is, lest it not come true?
I think that is practice in the Schwarz household. Not by me. I mean,
have you put a stop to it?
I haven't thought that much about it, Todd.
I mean, this whole ritual of blowing out the candles, sooner or later they got to be blown out one way or the other, but how it became connected to making a wish. And it, since it's your birthday, I mean, whoever it is that's out there granting wishes, genie, I don't know, God, is God the one that grants wishes? I'm not sure.
No, I think it's Barbara Eden.
Oh, it's Barbara Eden.
Yeah.
Well, who can argue with that, for heaven's sakes? But if that's what it is, if it is just harmless stuff the kids do, you do it because it's part of what the... How many other superstitions do we have as Christians that we carry around with us all day? I want to talk with you about this on the other side of the break. It's Audio Open Lines. Stay tuned. Issues, etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues, etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues, etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues, etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The excitement about going back to school. New grade, new classes, new friends. But did you notice that some of us are missing? The class of 2006 is missing nearly one-third of its classmates. Every day, more than 3,500 members of our generation are killed by legalized abortion on demand. This fall, take notice of the empty chairs and lockers. Remember why our classmates are missing, and join the fight to protect the most defenseless members of our generation, the unborn. This has been a Perspective on Life from National Teens for Life. For more information, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Christopher Barkinoff, Rebecca Froh, Larry and Marie Klamer, Pastor Richard Zeil, Nathan Gerber, Lisa Clammers, Pastor Paul Becker, Mark Arnold, Michael Holman, and Lisa Clammers. Thanks for your support.
Issues, etc. Audio open lines here for about another 10 minutes. Then we're going to be talking with Ken Weeding about weekly communion. You know, it strikes me some people even think of the Lord's Supper as a matter of superstition. They may not think that they're doing this, but that was remember the Middle Ages when everything, practically all things, were superstition? There were superstitions attached to just about everything you did in life. Now we consider ourselves enlightened, sophisticated, scientifically aware of the world around us, and so we shouldn't have any superstitions. That is, these little niggling beliefs that if I just did that or did this, then maybe what I fear wouldn't happen or what I hope for would happen. I can manipulate the world around me by those little things. Knocking wood, not stepping on a crack. You would not want mom to have back surgery.
What about sports athletes making the sign of the cross?
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, you never know if it's superstition or if it's genuine piety. I got no problem with making a sign of the cross, but it can be turned into superstition. I mean, everything can. I mentioned blowing out the candles at a birthday party and making a wish. It seems like a small, innocuous thing. Let's talk to Scott, who's listening in Oakwood, Illinois. Scott, thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hi, Todd. Not too long ago, John Hagee Ministries Cornerstone Church, San Antonio, Texas, actually did a sermon series about something very similar to what Barack Obama did with the Wailing Wall, citing Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3, which read, "And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." He basically told his listeners to write down their prayers on a piece of paper or write it in their Bibles. And since that prayer was not going to change like it often does if we're praying straight from our hearts, it was more likely to come true.
Come true. That's so interesting, the language. Thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate it. So in the name of actually using a Bible passage to back up what could be construed or even practiced as a superstition. We heard before from the CNN story about Barack Obama writing down his prayer and putting it in the Wailing Wall, the crack between the stones there. What about the rest of you? Superstitions in your life. Just think through the things you do on a daily basis. People who play sports, especially baseball, people who work in dangerous occupations, and I'm thinking here about soldiers, firemen, policemen, they are often admittedly superstitious people. They spend their lives with a lot on the line. Now, if you're a baseball player, maybe not so much, but if you're a fireman, a soldier, a police officer, you say, hey, it can't hurt. I don't want to get hurt, and it can't hurt to have this little thing, wear the right socks, have the right thing hanging in my locker, knock wood, whatever it may be. And maybe every occupation has its little superstitions. You know, the actors say break a leg. I've never understood why thespians feel the need to wish one another bodily harm before the show, but apparently it's the way of, if you say good luck, that's supposed to be bad luck. So you don't say good luck. My wife is an amateur thespian, and I tell her, hey, have a good show. And she's never told me, don't do that. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. We're coming to you live this Monday, the 28th of July. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's a story from NBC News on another superstition that a lot of people concerned about the price of their house and the sale of their house are finding again.
Home sales continued to fall last month, but not by as much as predicted. It may or may not signal the end of the downward trend.
And with the housing market in its current state, people are looking for more and more ways to counter that trend. And increasingly, they're finding their sales salvation in places like this, the Catholic Shop.
It's where you can find St. Joseph, the patron saint of carpenters and realtors. At this Catholic supply store, his image is molded into statues on candles and in this home sales kit.
It includes a statue, and it also includes instructions.
You're supposed to bury the statue in your yard upside down and say a prayer to help sell the home. Nationwide, the sales of such kits has more than doubled over the last year, and the Catholic Shop's seen a run on this saint, too.
And they ask for St. Joseph, or they sometimes ask for St. Anthony, not knowing that they're really asking for St. Joseph.
Sometimes it seems even divine intervention isn't enough.
About 2 days later, the buyer had bailed out of the deal.
Realtor Greg Edwards says it's mainly about giving sellers some comfort.
I think you could believe in a lot of things. You really have to believe in anything. You have to believe mostly in your agent. You believe in your agent, and things will happen.
Still, there are those who say, for whatever reason, St. Joseph came through for them.
And so I decided to give it a try, and it worked.
All right, there's a story from NBC News about that little superstition. What about you? Have you ever used a St. Joseph statue or know someone who has? We talked about this sometime back on the program, and there was a realtor called us and said that they had a colleague in the business of selling and buying and selling houses, who did this without asking permission of her clients. She would go there when the clients weren't home, bury the statue head down, say her prayer, plant her sign, and be on her way. And she said, look, doesn't hurt. I mean, it can't hurt, can it? But it is, in fact, superstition, isn't it? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or issues, I'm sorry, talkback at issuesetc.org. Zelwyn in North Dakota. Zelwyn, welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I hate to be kind of a little off the topic of the St. Joe statues here, but when you were talking about theater stuff, I was pretty involved with the theater here in college. I kind of grown out of it, but actually you said the whole break a leg thing. Around here, at least, that was considered, if you said that, that means you're going to have a bad performance. There was that sort of a superstition. And there was also another superstition about having, if you mentioned the play Macbeth, it'd be invoking some sort of, like, supernatural witchcraft or something.
And really?
That would also, yeah.
Well, that's just like, weird.
You couldn't say.
What if you were
like
doing Macbeth?
Well, that was even worse. You can't do Macbeth because there were so many things that have been connected with it, and people have died during production and that sort of a thing.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Zelwyn. I appreciate it, and thanks for listening in North Dakota. Okay, so there's a twist, a reversal, kind of reverse psychology. If good luck means bad luck in the theater, so you say break a leg, and then if that becomes to mean good luck, then you can't say that, so you got to say something else besides break a leg. See, this is the way superstition works. You end up just twisting yourself around a branch, worrying about whether or not you said the right thing. Did I say that right? Did I knock wood enough times? If you believe in them. Now, no one, very few people, except for, say, let's say a soldier who did his little superstition and then was miraculously saved from in a firefight, he might say, well, hey, maybe it did some good. Or a baseball player who goes through his superstitious rituals and then has a great game, the next day he goes through the same rituals, has a terrible game, he says to himself, oh, I forgot to do the one thing. Yeah, I know I crossed myself three times before I went to the plate, but maybe it should be four. Maybe four is the trick. Very few people claim to believe in these things, so why do we all carry them around with us? Superstitions, big and small. You know, Christians, there's a particular superstition that might even be unique to Christianity. Not to the Christian faith per se, but to Christians. You know what it is? Oh, it's so common, and I think it causes untold despair and sadness among Christians. It robs Christians of their comfort. You know what that superstition is? And it sounds so good. If only I had believed a little more. You know, I know that I had faith, but maybe my faith wasn't strong enough. Grandma's sick, we pray that she gets better. Grandma dies, we say, maybe we don't even say, we just think it, because we wouldn't come out and say it. If only that I'd believed a little more, or maybe I did something. You know, Grandma seemed to get sick right about the time I did this, and I know that what I did was wrong. Maybe God is trying to tell me something. There are entire sectors of Christianity. We'll be talking about one of them in a few minutes, probably in about a half hour with Bob Lico. The Word Faith movement that is just superstition from top to bottom. If only I'd believed more. Do you think that things went wrong in my life? Do you think I lost my job because I did this? God finally was the last straw. And he said, all right, I'm going to teach you. It's a superstitious view of God. This email comes from Don in Junction City, Kansas. He says, we must remember that superstition is from the old Adam that is in us all. To get rid of superstition, we should, by daily contrition and repentance, drown the old Adam. We need to use the means of grace to get rid of them. They can make us into slaves if we do not use the power God has given us. Very good point. You know, baptism, the word of forgiveness, the Lord's Supper, these means of grace that Don is talking about, hearing the word of God, nothing superstitious about that. That's supernatural, which is very different from superstition. Is God kind of the personal version of destiny or fate, waiting for you to step on a crack or avoid stepping on a crack before he determines what he's going to do with you, how he's going to look at you? No. The only reason God looks favorably upon you is because of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, there's nothing superstitious about this. This is where one life, his life, substitutes for your life, and therefore God is favorable toward you each and every day, only for the sake of his son, Jesus Christ. That's not superstition. We'll be right back.
New technology, old theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.